what to do. But yet statistics say you're a dead man walking.
Right.
But I got all the time in the world.
Right.
Let me tell you, you don't have all the time in the world. I know that kind of got off my subject, but I'm going to tell you, there's too many of us that think that we've got time.
Yeah.
And we ain't got time.
Right. Amen.
You don't have time to play around with God. You don't have time to act macho. You don't have time to act cool and act suave and all that other BGQ and all that. You don't have time to mess with all that stuff.
Right.
You ain't got time. You ain't got time. God's coming.
Yes.
You need to get good.
Yes.
And you need to get right.
Yes.
Amen. If we go on here, today is no more different than that day where they would not confess, they would not obey, they would not walk after, because they were always in fear. And that's mostly what a lot of our problem is here today too. There's a lot of us that are in fear of really living right. I know these guys right here, they're in fear of living right. That's the reason why they don't do it, because they don't want to be ridiculed by somebody out there.
Right.
So they're not going to be ridiculed here, because we're all striving to do what's right, but they're scared about them ridiculing them. So they got to have a funky haircut, they got to wear the funky clothes, they got to do this, they got to do everything to what their peers are doing and not to what would be really acceptable to God.
Right.
What would be pleasing to God? Girls, same with you. Same exact thing. You're more concerned about what the world thinks than what God thinks.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm saying this as a general all the way through and through, and I understand that. Not all of them are like that. But I would say that because of their struggle in deciding if they're really going to live for God or not, and whether they really want the world or whether they really want the things of God, it's going to take some major decisions in their life.
Right.
You know, they don't think right. I know I didn't think right at 17. I had my head all messed up trying to figure out which way. And it wasn't the first time. And it wasn't the last time that I still questioned things. There's nothing wrong with questioning things.
Right.
This is why I said again, get your Bible and get to know your Bible. Because I'm going to tell you, it was because of a relationship that I built with my Bible that in the end, even through the struggles and the temptation,
right.
Yes.
I made it through.
Yes,
right.
I made it through. And I made some right choices because of what the Word of God said.
Amen.
So that's all free.
You have to pay for that.
I'm trying to help you.
Yeah.
I want to see you saved.
Yes.
More than anything.
Yes.
John chapter number 12 and verse 44, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. Now there's a one God scripture for you.
Mm-hmm.
When you see him, that's why he said, Philip, when you see me, you've seen the Father. You got the whole package. You see it all.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And verse number 46 said, I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me, he should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. I'm going to tell you, there's coming a judgment.
Right.
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 Yes, there is.
And sometimes in the Word of God, it sounds like they're judging me. No, we're trying to tell you how to be saved.
Right.
We're trying to tell you how to make it, how to live for God. It's not a judgment. It's instruction. Because if it was a judgment, you'd be standing before God Almighty and your knees would be knocking and you wouldn't be able to say a word.
Right.
Right.
Because judgment, I don't know about you, but there's been a couple of times in my life that I had to sit before a judge.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Because whatever that dude says, it goes. Whether it's right, whether it's wrong, whether it's just or unjust.
Right.
I've been in a couple situations where I thought that wasn't just.
That's the truth.
That wasn't fair. But it didn't matter because he was the judge. What he said, bam, it's settled.
Yeah.
Right.
And so there's a little bit of concern and reservation there. Oh God, I hope it's in my favor. Yeah, I hope there's a whole lot more concern when you're standing before a judge kind of funny because some people don't think I am paying attention, but I can see a lot more than you think I can. And sometimes I don't pay attention, but I can see them messing around and poking each other and laughing and getting these little smirks on their faces. I say things because my eyes are just totally fixed on one thing. So just like some of these guys were doing just a few minutes ago, they were doing that. Some of that poking, slapping, tickling, looking goofy, and making all these faces. That's not going to affect me. I'm not going to be a judge, but you're going to stand before God one day.
Right. Amen.
Yes, we are.
You will stand before Amen. God one day, and you'll say, man, I wish I would have listened to that stupid preacher. I wish I would have listened to that preacher that kept on pointing his finger in my face and telling me to get right and telling me to knock it off and telling me to get serious. I wish I would have lived, because there was a beggar that was in hell that looked up into Lazarus' bosom, into Abraham's bosom, and saw Lazarus, a leper, a nasty guy, and he was saved, and he was in heaven. He said, hey, I want you to take your finger and stick it in water to cool this burning sensation, just to cool my tongue, much less my whole body. You see, that's just a good little fairy tale, isn't it? That's just a good little story, and it just makes everybody scared and all that kind of thing. It ain't just a story.
Right.
I know of some people that when they were on their deathbed, they started screaming.
Yes, sir.
I'm on fire! I'm on fire! I'm on fire! As they felt their extremities burning. And then they did an autopsy afterwards, and the inside of their bodies was charred. You say, oh, no, it can't be. Oh, yeah, it can. And there's examples today that are still being proved out that, oh, yeah, there is a heaven and there is a hell.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, no, I'm going to be lost forever.
All right.
Now it's too late. Now it's too late. But I've also heard the good stories also. Like Brother Prickett, I'll never forget it. When he gave up his last breath, he didn't say anything, but his hands went straight up. He could not move. He hadn't moved in several days. But as I was standing there at his deathbed, and he gave up that last breath, his hands went up. Smile came on his face. Last breath. Done. I tend to believe that if we could have been in his mind, he said, woo, I just made it over. I walked over the finish line. Oh, yeah. There was another man here in Reno that had come to the church and so on and so forth, and he was on his deathbed and dying there, and he was in bad shape. And I remember laying or standing by his side, and his wife was across the other side, and we were praying, and he was speaking in tongues and praising God. But just before that, he had asked me, he said, Pastor, I want you to forgive me. I haven't done anything just right. I said, you know what? Forgiven as far as I'm concerned. You just got to make sure that you're ready. He said, I think I'm ready. And he started speaking in tongues and took his last breath. Had a big old smile on his face and started speaking in tongues, tears flowing down his face as he left this world. I'm going to tell you, there's a heaven and there's a hell. You got to be ready. You got to be ready. Amen. Let's go a little further here. Since I got sidetracked a little, amen, I'll get back on the trail here. John chapter 17 and verse number 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. In Jesus' prayer for his disciples, just before his crucifixion, he said, the word of God is truth. I don't want to live a lie. I want to live in truth. To find out what the apostles' word was left, we read it here in Luke chapter number 24, verse 45. The setting again is just after the Lord's death, the burial, and the resurrection, just before he ascends into heaven. So Luke 24, and verse 45 said, then opened he their understanding. I prayed for that this morning. That ought to be every one of our prayers. That every time we come to the house of the Lord, that He would open up our understanding. You see, some of the problems that we face and we struggle with so much is we don't come to church ready to get something from God.
Right.
And when we hear the same scripture, we go,
it's the same old scripture.
I can't tell you how many times I've read scriptures over and over and over again, and then one day, bam! Whoa!
Yes, sir.
Wow! That's incredible! Over and over and over again, we can read it, and then one day, actually, our understanding be opened, and we understand what the scripture says. That they might understand the scriptures. Verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So there's two questions. There's two questions. Did the apostles preach the message that Jesus commanded them to preach? How was that promise of the Father fulfilled? We go quickly into transversing from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, into the actions of the apostles. Acts chapter 1, verse number 3. To whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking the things that pertained to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. As we enter into the book of Acts, we can discover here that almost immediately that the promise of the Father is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of Acts chapter 2, 1 through 17, but let me just start with a little bit of the beginning of it. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one
place.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Oh, how I long to recreate the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
Oh, how I long to recreate the day of Pentecost. What a day that will be, amen, when we all get in one place, when we're in one accord, and the Holy Ghost comes in, and it sets upon each of us.
Amen.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Can you imagine what a day that would be? It would spill out into the streets that day, that night, and weeks to come, just like it did on that day.
Amen.
If we strive for anything, this is what we need to strive for.
Amen.
Is to have a move of God like they did, being in one mind, in one accord, and allowing the Holy Ghost to fill us, each and every one of us. Scripture said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. When the apostles were at Jerusalem, they, along with many others, were joyously filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the ability. They did not do it of their own accord. This is probably one of the biggest problems that we face in Pentecost, because we believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, that many people have learned how to speak in tongues.
Right.
Right.
And not really be under the inspiration or as the ability of the Spirit gives.
Right.
And especially those that have had the Holy Ghost for a lengthy amount of time are more susceptible to it than anybody else. We're more so, come on now.
Right.
And I only say that you would examine yourself and say, okay, is this the Spirit of God, or am I just getting into a ritual rut?
Right.
As I say, see me tie my tie, see me tie my tie, see me tie my tie, Kawasaki Ninja. I say that really fast, like 25 times, and then all of a sudden I get myself all tongue tied. I spoke in tongues. Hallelujah. Okay, now I can go. It don't work like that. And so I do that as a challenge. I say that as a challenge for you to say, you know what? I want to speak in tongues as the Spirit really gives me the ability. Not because of what I'm used to.
Right.
I want the Holy Ghost to move on.
Yes.
Then from verse 17 to verse number 36, Peter is preaching to the people about the man Jesus that they crucified, that he was not just another prophet, and that he was the Messiah in whom they had all been seeking for. And then in verse 36 it said, therefore let the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted. That's another thing that we lack in Pentecost today. We lack conviction.
Right.
We lack the ability to even be convicted.
Right.
And I understand this to be true because long before I was ever a preacher, I was a saint. And I sat on that pew and I had a pastor that preached to me. Right. And I still need somebody to preach to me every once in a while.
Right.
Amen. And I sat there and I had to listen and I had to endure. And there were times that I was corrected. Well, on multiple occasions. I was a thick-headed knucklehead a lot of the time. So that's why I know I love these boys, because I've already been there. They don't think that I've been there. They have a hard time realizing that I do love them. But I haven't kicked any one of them across the pulpit yet. And I still know that my pastor loved me, even though he kicked me clean across the pulpit a couple times. I mean, he grabbed me. You ready? I didn't think so. But I know that my pastor loved me, and he was putting something in me that made me be able to stand up and know the truth and stand for righteousness. He put some grit inside of me.
Yeah. Right.
He put some stickum inside of me.
Right.
That's why I'm still here today. It doesn't matter if come this or come that or whatever. I'm here to stay.
Amen.
So sometimes people say, well, you're just picking on them. No, I'm not picking on them. They need to be men.
Right.
Yes. They need to be able to handle correction. Yes. They need to be able to handle some of those things. And when they hear it, there ought to be some conviction. They ought to be going, you know what, you're right, Pastor. I know that's what I did. Many times, you know what, Pastor, you're right. I need to get my act together. I need to pull it together. I need to quit being stupid. I need to quit fooling around. I need to quit messing around.
Right.
I have been told that on several occasions. Because I got convicted in my heart. And there ought to be things that convict us, like the Word of God. When it convicted them, they go, oh no, we realized that we've done something wrong. We crucified an innocent man. And then they said, okay, now that we've done this, what shall we do? What am I going to do about my situation? And that's another thing we don't ask. We get convicted. I know I did. But then we don't do what we need to do.
Right.
To fix it.
Right.
I love what Brother Josh even said this morning. He even said, you lied. You sing that song, you lied. But guess what? You got repentance.
Right.
That's the most fabulous thing. Tell me what I did wrong, but give me a way out.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
That's the beauty of the Word of God, because it tells us where we went wrong, what we've done wrong, and how to fix it. I want to be fixed.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Give me a way out. Give me that hope that I see. I'm giving. Some of y'all don't know this, but I'm giving these boys some hope because you could be like me one of these days,
right?
Yeah, you could be going through some of the same things that you're going through right now to teach you, to train you, to get you to a place where there's going to be a day you're going to have to preach to somebody. And you're going to have to look at them. And you're going to go, oh man, I'm preaching to myself right here.
Yeah.
I think God gave me some people just like myself. He did it on purpose. He said, yeah, now you want to know how it feels? You want to know how your pastor felt when you was preaching? And now you got it, buddy. I don't name any names. What God gives to us. Just to keep us. Here is a direct question asked. What must we do to be saved? How can I be forgiven? What a powerful thought. Okay, I've done wrong. Now how can I be forgiven? How can I make it right? Peter said unto them, repent. Oh, man. You see, that is another thing that we lack is repentance. A lot of people want to jump over there to the Holy Ghost. They want to jump over there to baptism. And they want to skip repentance. But repentance is vitally necessary in our walk with God. In order for us to be saved. You see, repentance isn't a one-time deal either.
Right.
It's something that you live over and over and over again. It's something that you continue to do. However, being baptized, you only have to do once if you do it right. Wow. Amen. And he said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Who can have the promise of the Holy Ghost? The Bible said, for the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall. When the people heard Peter's word, they believed that Jesus was Christ. He was Lord. He was Savior. They were sorry for what they had done. They had repented. They had done what they needed to do. Peter replies, or Peter's answer to their dilemma was given here in the book of Acts, which was what Luke chapter 24, 45, and 49 had commanded them to do. In light of this, I want you to consider three elements, and that is which we call the plan of salvation. Repentance, remission of sins through baptism in Jesus' name, and the receiving of the Holy Ghost. In John chapter number 3 and verse number 5, we read there were two requirements to enter into the kingdom of God. And that was to be born of the water and to be born of the Spirit. Being born of the water is water baptism in Jesus' name. Being born of the Spirit is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. If you get these two things, then you have an opportunity to enter into the kingdom of God. You have an opportunity to see the kingdom of God. Now quickly, let us take a few more examples as I start to bring this to a close. I said start to bring it to a close. I said I'm closing. Philip was preaching to the Samaritans in the book of Acts, chapter number 8. Some people say when they experienced joy, or when they believed in Jesus, or when they were baptized, they were automatically filled with the Holy Ghost. But if the Bible says that that is true, that you're automatically filled, then let it be. But if it does not, then let's see what we must do to be filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 5 said, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and they that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So the question is, did they receive great joy? They did, didn't they? They got joy. But verse number 12 goes on to say, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Did they believe in Jesus Christ? Yes. The Bible says that they believed. Then if you go down another couple verses to verse 14, Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now wait a second. They already had joy. Was that the Holy Ghost?
No.
They were already baptized. Did they have the Spirit?
No.
Because they're still coming down and they're praying for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. So they had been baptized, yes, but they didn't receive the Holy Ghost. But after that, they did receive the Holy Ghost as a distinct and separate experience. But cannot confuse those things. Peter preaching to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. Again, some people say being religious is enough. Or that spirit baptism, evidence by tongues, was only for them on the day of Pentecost. If the Bible says that is true, then it's true. But if the Word shows us through this story of Cornelius' experience that it's not true, then we are to believe the word and not believe popular demand. It's probably the best way to say it. Acts chapter 10, verse number 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called a centurion of a band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to people and pray to God always.
Does Cornelius sound like a good man?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Good man.
Yes.
But he ain't saved, is he?
No.
He gave. He went to church. He did all kinds. He prayed. But that just made him a religious man. That didn't make him saved.
Right.
Verse number 5 said, and now send men to Joppa, call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one, Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So, oh man, hey, something's going to happen here. Verse number 44, Peter yet spake these words. The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they were, they of the circumcision which believed and were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they did hear them speak with tongues. They knew that the Holy Ghost had come upon them because they spoke with tongues and magnified God. Then answered Peter, and he goes on, did they receive the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues after the day of Pentecost? We've got proof that they did. So it wasn't just for them. And you can't show me anywhere in the scripture where it was just for them. You can't show me anywhere in the scripture that it was only for them, because else would the scripture be lying when it said, it is to you and to your children. So when I read that, who's it for? Was it only for them? If it was written like that, it's for you, then that's talking to one.
Right.
And to your children, that's talking to you.
Right.
And to me, as the Lord our God shall call, that's talking about everybody in my community, in my state, in my country.
Amen. Right.
Yes.
Right. So it's always for them right now, right then. It's not just for those of that day.
That's right.
So in verse number 19, no, excuse me, hold on a second. I lost my place. Verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as these? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So again, we have a separate and distinct experience from receiving the Holy Ghost as to getting baptized in Jesus' name. Two different things. Paul preached to John's disciples in Acts chapter 19. Many people who believe have not even heard about the Holy Ghost. That is promised to me. I know many. I've talked to many people that they know who Jesus is, but they don't know all there is to know about His Spirit, His workings, or anything of that nature. Has no idea. Also, some people say it's not necessary to be baptized or to be rebaptized. Well, again, there's no substantiation in the Scripture, and if there is, then it would be there. That you'd be, it'd plainly be there. But it's not. Because the Word tells us, the Word speaks to us again. If you were baptized by John's baptism, you'd think it wouldn't be necessary to be rebaptized using a different formula. But that's not the way we see it in the Word of God. Acts chapter 19, verse number 1. So it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul having passed through the upper coast of Ephesus, finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Again, making believing and the Holy Ghost a separate, distinct experience.